What do they mean? Who are they to say what is and isn't decent in public?
David.
What?
Good evening, everybody. I was going to wait and see how long you went with that, but we didn't get it much more. My name is Chad Sherwood. I'm your host here. Welcome to the weekly Hoops HD Report, joined by almost a full cast tonight. Let me start by introducing everybody else that's with us. Starting to my left, probably on the right, you're right on everybody else's screen, Lee Delvecchio is back with us with the picture of the band coach and the dead pop star. Lee, how are you?
I'm good. By the way, I just the kids at Georgetown with the TIFO for Jim Boeheim, just applause. If you haven't seen what they put together for Jim Boeheim, he should have been forced to coach that game just to have to stare at it. I'm doing well otherwise. I'm very excited tomorrow night to go to Madison Square Garden and see two really, really good college basketball games that will not feature Tim Miles.
Also joining us again is John Titel. John, how are you tonight?
Despite my adventures with the Penn-George Mason game last Saturday, I'm happy to say I survived and I'm doing okay.
Adventures of the Penn-George Mason game. We're going to have to get that story from you here in a minute or two. But let me introduce our other two characters tonight. John Stalica joining us. John, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Even as we get ready for the Bengals and Steelers here in Cincinnati, there is an even bigger game that's going to be coming up later this weekend that we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah, there's a somewhat important basketball game that's a bit of a minor rivalry out there in Cincinnati coming up this weekend. But
Not involving Northern Kentucky.
No, it's not Northern Kentucky versus Wright State. David, how are you tonight also?
I've been better.
What's wrong? Do I want to know?
Rather not discuss it.
Okay. Well, let me go over the game plan for tonight. There was a lot of action this week, a lot in the ACC and the Big Ten, with the ACC Big Ten Challenge having been played. What we want to do is kind of concentrate more on those two conferences for tonight. Next week we'll try to focus in on a few of the other conferences, but we will hit on everything tonight, hoping we have enough time for that. But and then we'll also do a preview of some upcoming games. But let's start things off in the ACC, where what I'll call the Big Three this year, Duke, Carolina, and Virginia, all keep rolling. All three won their ACC Big Ten challenges, and including North Carolina.
No, they did. Duke was not challenged. He does not qualify as a challenge.
I stand mistaken. Yes, I stand corrected here. Duke was not challenged. North Carolina and Virginia, I guess, were challenged somewhat, although North Carolina's win over Maryland was probably the most impressive. John Titel, John T., let me throw it over to you here, being in the general Maryland vicinity there. What did you think about that Carolina-Maryland game?
Great game. I love seeing the old rivalries. We just had Syracuse-Georgetown in D.C. last weekend, an old Big East rivalry. Now we get to see an old ACC rivalry. It's amazing. The teams, I think, have now played 180 games, despite the fact that they're in different conferences. I would wager that that's the most ever, but I have not done the research. It's a great matchup. Melo Trimble and Marcus Page, now that Page is healthy, and the Tar Heels look like they're for real. I think they are looking great for the Final Four.
And again, I need to point out that there is a rivalry that has played 262 times, I think, and they're in different conferences. It was known as the Border War. I think we're going to spend the last three quarters of the show talking about how we need to resume Kansas and Missouri.
I think Titel was discussing active rivalries, though, David. So, but
rather not.
As David gets another drink, let me throw it over to you here, Lee. You mentioned the Syracuse game at the start already once. Boeheim was out for this game. He got his 9-game suspension amended from the beginning of ACC play to effective immediately. And this was a huge game to miss the Georgetown game. However, he gets back by the time of the Carolina game, and he gets to miss a bunch of trash games in the middle now. Do you think that the team actually benefited from the amended suspension?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, this is a game that matters a lot to the fans, but is, you know, it's a rivalry, but you were actually the one who pointed this out, I believe, and you deserve credit. This is absolutely the best possible time to miss 9 games, because the next 8 games are Colgate, St. John's, Cornell, Montana State, Texas Southern, Pitt, Miami, Clemson. And then, you know, the next game just happens to be the home game for North Carolina. Now, far be it for me to imply that the NCAA might be in bed with a major school because Syracuse isn't a major school. No, it's the best possible time for them, and it's a chance to find out, you know, in a very small sample, what life after Jim Boeheim and under Mike Hopkins might be like. And if that game was any indication, boy, am I going to enjoy it, because they did not look good. I actually think Georgetown is kind of an undervalued team right now. I was really impressed with their, you know, offensive ball movement. It's refreshing to see a Georgetown team that actually looks competent on offense. If not damn near stunning to see. But, you know, they were very efficient. 17 of 31 on twos. They shot just about 40% on threes. And they got to the free throw line basically 30 times. And that was something that kind of, you know, it was old school for this matchup, was how do you attack the zone? You just try and go inside, and either you can pass from the foul line or you can attack the rim and draw fouls and shoot. And you better make your free throws, which has been a struggle for Georgetown at times. Yeah. Games that may or may not have involved Radford. But I was really impressed with the performance by the Hoyas, and I think these might be ships passing in the night in terms of this season. Syracuse's wins in Atlantis were impressive. They're going to be great for their resume. But, I mean, you know, the home loss to a mediocre at best Wisconsin team. You know, now the question becomes for them. I mean, the schedule's light, but if they struggle in some of these games, like, I don't know, beating St. John's by less than 50, because boy are they bad.
Yeah.
I wonder how the team will respond to that, because they'll be looking for their leader, their coach, and he's not there. I mean, he's there every time. I believe he can. It's everything but the game. So he'll be there for practice and everything else. But when game time comes, it's on Mike Hopkins, who's very experienced, to try and get the team going. Fortunately for him, it's a lot of home games against bad teams. But the timing, you know, it sucks. Oh, for them, they lose the rivalry game. But this is much less important than not having him on the sidelines for ACC play.
David,
it got so bad, I changed the channel.
let me bring Stalika in here, John S. on another team out of the ACC. And for those of you that did not check out the website today, John S. posted his proposed bracket, and he had Louisville sitting there as a sixth seed. And I took a little bit of...
All right, I'm going to get out of the way here.
And I mean, if you look at what Louisville has done so far, I know they're a top 25 team, but they've been Samford, Hartford, North Florida, SF Brooklyn, St. Louis, and Grand Canyon.
The team of the people.
Yes, they are. Well, even though you get extra credit for beating Grand Canyon, beating them badly.
Exactly. It's a for-profit college, the team of the people.
What are you seeing in there, in Louisville? Yeah.
Shouldn't that count for three wins, though?
I think it should.
But on a serious note,
he certainly scored enough points to win it three times.
But on a serious note, though, one of the teams I had to flip-flop Louisville with was Butler, and I think I had Louisville in a sub-region where they would have been facing Nova, so Butler could not be placed in there. So Butler would have been 24 on my S-curve, Louisville 25. Just a lucky break for the Cardinals there.
I guess Louisville is one of those teams that we really don't know too much about yet, because they've only played the one game against Michigan State, against anybody of true note. And I know team of the people, David. But, David, let me throw another team at you.
Well, I just wanted to, like, real quick on Louisville. I know their paper is pathetic right now. I was actually the most impressed with how well they played against Michigan State despite the loss. I actually think... Great. They're for real after that game. They led for most of it. They had a chance to win it. And Michigan State is currently ranked number one. I know they lost, but I think when they get the chances to get the merit up on their paper and get the meat on their profile, Louisville will come through. But at this point in time, they've lifted absolutely no weight.
Oh, my God, it's December 7th, and Stalika's hiding behind seeding rules. Oh, yeah. Come on.
I also want to add one little thing to what the puppet just said there. I mean, is he describing Louisville this year, or is he describing Davidson from last year when they had a great performance against Virginia but weren't quite able to pull it out?
Davidson did not have a great performance this past weekend. I want to point that out. No. But yeah,
Davidson kind of got some loss. But David, I want to throw another team at you here. That's sitting with a 6-1 record, having beaten nobody of note, and losing their only real test against Purdue, and that's this Pitt team at 6-1. And the question is, are they for real, or is this a complete fraud?
Well, I mean, Pitt does an incredible job of keeping that a mystery all the way up until about mid-January, year after year after year. I think that they're more likely than not a tournament-caliber team. I thought they played really well in that game despite losing it. And then in the first half against Gonzaga on that skating rink, they didn't look bad either. I just wish they wouldn't do as much as they do to keep it a secret. I mean, they don't play anybody mediocre, let alone good, on their out-of-conference schedule. But I do think that they're for real. But they really make it harder on themselves because they give themselves so they basically are taking a pass. St. Joseph, Indiana, Detroit, Cornell, Kent State, who's decent. They flattened Duquesne, who I actually think has a pulse this year. I don't know if they're quite up to the NIT, but they're not the sub-200 team that we're used to seeing. Central Arkansas, Morehead State, and Western Carolina, they play a decent but not good Davidson team and a mediocre Duquesne team in Purdue, and that's it.
You know, I think maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. We know how bad the schedule is. I think they deserve a lot of credit for keeping their schedule numbers up by not scheduling Penn State in basketball. Based on the transitive property, looking at the Duquesne game, they're about 50 points better than Penn State, roughly. So maybe that's what – but again, you know, David, look, the Gonzaga game wasn't their fault. That was their only chance. There were no other games they could have scheduled. That was it. They had to play St. Joseph's of Indiana. They had to.
Okay. Oh, let me throw it over to John T. again here. On the both of the teams down in the state of Florida, out of the ACC, at Miami, I think that they are still continuing to look pretty good. But Florida State, especially, I've seen they are 5-2 with a decent win over VCU, but lost the game to Hofstra, lost to Iowa. What do you think about? Let's start with that Florida State team and then also Miami.
Sure. So Florida State is very young this year, off to a good 5-2 start, only a couple close losses, 5 points to Hofstra on a neutral site, and overtime to Iowa at Iowa. I think that's both quality losses. The wins average VCU by 5 on a neutral site, their best so far. I like Leonard Hamilton. He doesn't have marked success, but he's good, very good in the regular season. He's got a very young team with Beasley and Bacon as this hotshot freshman. In addition to, I think they returned 6 of their top scorers from last year. They got a lot of height, so they have good defense. They can block shots inside. I don't know if they're in for March. Like, it's going to be tough because the ACC is so tough, but they're looking good, and if I had to bet at the moment, I would say that they're inside the bubble at the moment.
And how about Miami?
Also a solid team. Another great coach with Jim Larrañaga. Only loss has been by a single point to a Northeastern team who's decent this year, so I think that's not a bad loss per se. Wins over Utah and Butler, both great. Of course, beating Tim Miles, I mean, that goes very far.
Very, very far.
A huge game at home hosting the Gators Tuesday night is going to really see what this team is made of.
And Lee, let me bring you in.
Real quick on Florida State. They did something unique this year, and I think they're going to try and do it moving forward. They're going to try and play a game in Atlanta every year against another showcase opponent, and it went splendidly well this year. Dozens of people showed up for this game.
Dozens of people.
Dozens. Okay, that's all.
Lee, I know that you love talking Notre Dame basketball, so I want to throw them over to you.
They actually are a team I want to talk about.
Go for it.
I mean, they're a team that so far this year, I mean, you know, 5-2, a win over Lowell by, you know, which is a team that's beaten an ACC team. So, lost by 2 to Monmouth, but, you know, who hasn't? Well, okay, I mean, MAC teams haven't lost to Monmouth yet, but, and the loss to Alabama is bad, but it's by a point. You know, so far, this is, it's a classic Mike Bree team. Their offense is amazing, and defensively, I have questions. I have lots of questions.
But what about the Iowa win? I mean, I think I was pretty impressed with Iowa just thoroughly dismantling what I thought was a decent Western Illinois team tonight, and so kind of the jury's gets still a little bit out on this Iowa team, but I think that's going to be pretty nice win at the end of the day.
I'd like to think I was 3 years ahead or 2 years ahead of schedule on Iowa. I usually do this where I'm right about a team, but not the year I say it. I'm very wrong. I'm very wrong that year, but 2 years later it looks okay. No, I think Iowa was a good team. They're a very good offensive team, and they held them to 62 points. I mean, Notre Dame, I think their schedule this year is much improved. Out of conference, a lot of really quality games to get them ready for ACC play, unlike Pitt. I think they're going in the right direction. I mean, they're hard to watch because they're just even slower this year somehow. They do a great job of protecting the ball. It's amazing. They have guards who do a great job of holding onto the ball, but they don't steal very often. They're one of the worst teams in the country in steal percentage, despite the fact that their guards are very, very good at holding on the ball. You think they'd know how to get it away, but that's beside the point. Very low turnover rate, and that's enough to be a team where they don't have one star, really. I mean, who's their go-to guy? Is it Bonzi Colson? I guess, maybe. But they've got a deep enough team where I think this is a tournament team. I don't know how deep they can go because they've had better teams than this that were bad in the tournament, so I'm not going to project this team to do very much. But I think they're a solid middle of the ACC team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're the team that has those random pickoff games. We've seen Miami do it in the past. We've seen Virginia Tech do it in the past, where there's that one ACC team that doesn't have a lot in their resume but also somehow wins at Duke or, like, wins at North Carolina. Maybe Notre Dame is that team this year.
David, another team that might be the team to watch out for this year is something you've liked from the beginning of the season. That's the Danny Manning squad down there in Wake.
Yeah, actually, they looked really good out in out in Maui. Yeah, I was impressed with how they looked, but then after seeing Indiana play after that, you became discouraged that they didn't blow them out by more. They were clobbered by Vanderbilt. They sweated out a decent UCLA team. Really struggled against Rutgers. I mean, their paper is good because they've been winning, but I'm honestly kind of changing my tune to them about how good are they actually on the court, and I guess this is when those efficiency rankings come in that you all seem to like a lot. They sweat out Rutgers, who's awful. They sweat out Arkansas, who's not a whole lot better. The only really good, solid tournament team that they've played is Vanderbilt, and they got destroyed. So, and they lost to Richmond as well. I think they're much improved. I think they're going to continue to improve. It'll be interesting. Christmas break right on the verge. And just to point this out, you do see a lot of teams do a 180 in that time period because there is no class. The 20-hour rule is not in effect. And you see teams just drastically improve over that time period. Maybe Wake will, maybe they won't. I think they're better than they were last year. I don't think they're a tournament team, though. You lose. You have to sweat out Arkansas at home. It's just not good.
Well, let me go over to John T., though. Cody Miller-McIntyre, who was Wake's best player last year, has not played a single play yet, a single minute yet this season. He was, last I heard, he was expected back any time. They don't play until next Tuesday. Is that going to make a big difference for them? Do you think that could, the way that they've won without him already, especially? John? Okay, let me throw that over to you, Lee. I think we lost John there for a second.
Yeah. Nice going, Chad. You just ran off John.
And now people have to listen to me. That's even worse. I'm also someone who is preseason on the Wake Forest bandwagon, but Chad alluded to, David alluded to the metrics. Metrics, I love how he threw a "you people" in there when talking about it. Us people know that they don't like them. In fact, they find Wake Forest to be the 13th best team in the ACC, according to Ken.
But they're doing this without Cody Miller-McIntyre.
They're doing it without Cody Miller-McIntyre. The thing I'm curious about is they're already playing at a very fast pace. I'm interested to see how much faster they can play it. I like this Wake Forest team. I think with Cody Miller-McIntyre, you know, coming back, that'll obviously make them a better team. The problem is they have I don't think we gave them enough credit for how tough this schedule is. I mean, coming up, you know, Greensboro and Coastal, not great. But then Xavier, LSU on the road, who has Ben Simmons, who can by himself score 80 points. And then, you know, their first two ACC games are at Louisville and home for Duke. So this is, I mean, Cody Miller-McIntyre, they need him back really soon to get a chance in some of these games. I like this Wake team, though. I agree with David. I think they're improving. I don't quite think they're a tournament team right now. I think that their style on the court makes it look they're more a sizzle than substance team. They're like a respectable version of Indiana right now.
Now we don't have to listen to Lee anymore.
Now we got John T. Welcome back. John S., let me throw over to you kind of a group of four teams here. Clemson, Georgia Tech, NC State, Virginia Tech. Is there anything you've seen from any of those four that leads you to believe that they have a shot at doing something this season or no?
I respect those teams so much that I just want to throw in one more footnote about Wake Forest,
okay.
one of the few power conferences that is willing to take a road trip out to Bucknell earlier in the year, and they did get one of their road wins there, and that's not one of the easier places to win by Patriot League standards.
Right.
Just like Virginia going to George Washington. So for North Carolina and Duke, you know, next time you play, quote, at Davidson, you can actually really do it. You don't have to go to Trump. But
I'm going to regret what I'm about to do, and I may put a time limit on it. But, Lee, there's one team we haven't discussed yet in the ACC.
Yeah.
clock is running. Go for it.
Boston College – I don't think they should play basketball anymore. Wednesday night
when have they been playing basketball? I didn't see any yet this year.
You know, Lowell is an up and coming athletic department. They just moved to Division I. I feel bad for UMass Lowell that the win over Boston College they got this weekend will probably hurt their RPI. Like, I mean, they beat BC and it wasn't in hockey. Like, the same weekend they got swept by UConn in hockey, who's new to Hockey East. Their basketball team gets their biggest win ever at the D1 level over BC, and I feel like I'm insulting them by saying that. Wednesday night, Boston College travels to Providence. I'm putting the over-under on the number of points in that game that will be scored by Chris Dunn at 45.5, and I'm taking the over. That game could be a murder.
Let me bring John T. back in here now that we got you back. Let's swing over to the Big Ten from the ACC, who actually did win the ACC Big Ten Challenge, led by Michigan State, who is now the number one team in the nation. Just how good is this Michigan State team?
First of all, apologies for the rude departure. I think I borrowed some internet from a guy named Joby or something. Is for real. Denzel Valentine has somehow morphed into Magic Johnson. He's amongst the top five in the nation in like rebound, or the team, excuse me, in rebounds and assists among the top five in the nation. Denzel's almost averaging a triple-double on his own. Schedule is very good this month. They should be 12-0 entering conference play, assuming they can get by a tough Florida team this weekend. They're deservedly the number one team in the nation.
Let me bring back John S., let me bring you back in here as well. Purdue is also undefeated. They've played some good teams, but not great teams, I would argue, at this point. What do you think of this Purdue team, and just how good are they? Are they good enough, I guess, to challenge for the Big Ten title?
Just say that they beat Pittsburgh last week, and you don't know how to classify them.
Yeah.
But they also were, I guess you could say, going through the motions against IUPUI earlier tonight, but still pull out a fairly decent win at home. But other than that, what's not to like about the Boilers this season?
David, your thoughts on Purdue, and also I guess the other team we got to discuss is Maryland, and the question of, you know, do you take anything, you know, do they fall down a notch for the Carolina loss, or do you still respect them as one of the top teams in the country?
Well, I don't think they fall down, so to speak. Maryland, starting off with Maryland, you just don't go down for losing against a number one seed caliber team on their floor that might not lose a home game all year. If they do, it's an oddity. I don't think it knocks them down, but as we were discussing beforehand, I'm not so sure they're number one seed good anyway. I definitely think they're good. I think they're probably Sweet 16 good, but they had some games against teams that they didn't exactly run over like you would expect them to. I did think they played really well at North Carolina. at times. I thought they showed a lot of guts. It was a hostile environment. They fought their way back into it in the second half after being down. I think I was more impressed with that than any other thing they've done all year, since maybe the Georgetown game. But, no, on paper, that loss isn't going to hurt them at all.
I know it's only been 2 years, but what's the likelihood that Maryland ever gets a home game in the Big Ten ACC Challenge?
I'd like to see Maryland, North Carolina, we talked about that rivalry. Not to segue too far off here, we got a lot. When is Maryland and Duke need to play? I think that one, the temperature of that one was a lot hotter than Maryland, North Carolina, maybe even hotter than North Carolina, Duke. That one
at times, I'd agree with you, David, it was.
Yeah. But that comes down to how good Mark Turgeon does there and if they can be good this year and sustain being good. If they stay at the level there this year, which I think is a Sweet 16 team, I think they're being pumped a little too much, but they're still a very good team. If they stay at that level, they're going to get home games against teams like Duke and Carolina. If they fall off, they're going to start, they're going to get the mid-level ACC team. So it's really on them and how well they play as to whether or not they'll get that game. I expect next year that they'll have a home game against Duke in the ACC Big Ten Challenge and that the police might need to be called in.
Lee, let me stick with you for another question here, just to keep things moving. And I know you want to answer this one. Northwestern, is this the year?
I think this might be. Last week, folks, I gave him the pep talk. I said that this Virginia Tech game, you got to have this game. And God knows they made it difficult. 81-79 winners in overtime. They pulled it out. Brother. They beat Virginia Tech. They clobbered a very bad SIU Edwardsville team at home. And their run of horror in terms of the non-conference schedule of Charmin continues. It's good to see they took 8 days off after the Edwardsville win to prepare for Chicago State, but then they have a quick turnaround for Mississippi Valley State, and then, they get 5 days for DePaul. This could be the year for Northwestern, but they don't have a lot of room, a wiggle room, because this might be the worst out-of-conference schedule in any major conference team has. I mean, North Carolina is the only team they play out of conference that has a KenPom rating higher than 115, and they might be the best team in the country. It's hard to figure them out because they played well in the North Carolina game, but until conference play, they can only screw this up, and God knows they have the capability. I think this could be the year for Northwestern, but they've got to get a couple of wins in Big Ten play because right now there's just nothing there.
Playing a centenary candidate in a Mississippi Valley State is perfect preparation for the fall, isn't it?
Well, they beat Lowell, who beat Boston College.
Speaking of Boston College, Chad, can we just very briefly talk about tomorrow night's big matchup in Piscataway?
Yeah, there is a huge centenary award implication matchup here. Central Connecticut State will have their only chance for a victory of the season going to Piscataway there.
About how bad Rutgers is they're 314th in KenPom in offense, and they're 50th in tempo, which means they are running up the court and they are just playing. They are stunningly bad at offense, and God bless them for trying.
Let me bring John T.
That game is going to be
Let me bring John T. back in here. Michigan, I think they very almost quietly have a 6-2 record. But kind of a real interesting game tomorrow night with SMU.
Yeah, very quiet. The offense is solid. They had 102 against Charlotte, 88 against Elon. They had a tough battle in November. They had back-to-back losses by double digits to Xavier at home and UConn on a neutral site. SMU, without Larry Brown, has been much better than I anticipated. And I believe the game is at SMU, so I'm going to favor the Mustangs. But if Michigan can win that one, the rest of the December schedule is very winnable. Four below average teams, so they could be easily 11-2 before entering Big Ten play.
Yeah. And another team that we mentioned them a little bit already, John, as this Iowa team, beat up on Western Illinois tonight. I think that one of these teams that I just can't figure out yet if they're any good or not. Do you think that that they are, or do you think that they're not? What is your opinion on them?
Well, I like what I've seen for the most part from the Hawkeyes so far, although you have to wonder about some of their ability to win games away from home, but they did get a nice win at Marquette a couple weeks ago, which is starting to look better and better as the season goes. But they also did help to clinch the Big Ten ACC challenge in favor of the Big Ten thanks to their Florida State win. I think that was the tiebreaker.
About Iowa, what's up with their schedule? When Fran McCaffrey was at Siena, and I realize that's a different animal, he made it a point to schedule really, really hard. He gets to Iowa, and they were not good at all following Licklider, and he did something that a lot of coaches do that made a little bit of sense. He scheduled really weak out of conference just to get the team used to winning and to build some momentum up. I think the program is now to a point to where they're expected to make the NCAA tournament. 7 out of 9 of their out-of-conference exempt games are Gardner-Webb, Coppin State, UMKC, Western Illinois, who I realize is good, Iowa State and Drake, which are fixture games, and Tennessee Tech. So the only good game that they scheduled that was not a fixture game was Western Illinois, and that was by accident. What is up with that? I think it's bitten them in the butt in the past, and I think it could potentially do it this year. They have gotten it just seems to be so philosophically different than what he was doing before.
I think he's trying to get this team defensively to match where they have offensive capability, and I think maybe it's just relief year after year of doing that at Siena. When you get to a place where you don't have to do it, it's got to be so tempting to go to tell your director of basketball operations, wait, you mean Missouri, Kansas City will come and we just got to cut them a check and I don't have to go play like at, you know, West Virginia? All right.
Well,
you know,
they played hard
schedules though. This isn't that bad. You know, Dayton,
but those are exempt games. Those weren't games he actively won.
Marquette on the road.
Yeah, okay. I missed that one. That was it.
That was part of the Gavitt games, though, so yeah. That's what Craig's meant by predetermined games.
Fair point, but, you know, I mean,
tournaments. I realize that you don't just magically appear in them, so they must have wanted to play in one, but I just wanted to throw that out there. It just seems different than what he preached at Siena about anybody anywhere. We need the tough out of conference schedule. We need the experience.
I think it's different in the Big Ten though, where you play a Big Ten regular season as opposed to in the Metro Atlantic where you play Canisius and Ryder and St. Peter's for your regular season.
Yeah, and it's back to back on a weekend. And I mean, they just started conference play for God's sakes. I was about to say that it's tough because Big Ten has so many conference games, and then I remembered it. This is nothing compared to what the MAC is. I don't think their schedule's that bad. I agree. I wish, of course, it was tougher. But I, unlike other coaches we've discussed, I have faith that Fran will actually do it. I guess also just after looking at that Northwestern schedule, just anything looks tougher. It's so bad. Real quick about Iowa, Thursday night, a fascinating game, a big rivalry, and two teams. I'm like, I have no idea how good Iowa or Iowa State are, and we're going to find out, I guess, in what should be a raucous atmosphere. It always is.
Yeah.
That will be a good one. John T., let me bring you back in here on another team that I guess the question is, have they righted the ship? And that's Bo Ryan's Wisconsin team. After looking so bad with the Western Illinois loss, now has picked up not only the Syracuse win, but also beat Temple. Are things looking better at Wisconsin, or you know, which team is the real team, I guess?
That's to be determined. I think losing to Oklahoma, especially after Oklahoma tonight, is a very solid loss. 10 points to Georgetown at a neutral site in Madison Square Garden, and the Western Illinois, it was only by 2 points. It was the season opener. Still a bad loss, I agree. The next four are very winnable, so they could be 10-3 before they play Purdue at home in a huge Big Ten opener. I think 10-3 in non-conference play is solid, even for the defending national runner-up. And I love the front court. I was worried that with the losses of Kaminsky and Decker, there was just going to be nothing. This Ethan Happ kid, he's huge, he rebounds, he scores. He and Nigel Hayes are a force to be reckoned with this year.
Mm-hmm. John S., let me bring you in here on the Indiana question. You're not that far from Indiana, I don't think. And here's the question. Should Tom Crean just be fired right now, or should he be allowed to play out the season?
I don't know. I think he has to do a little more work in order to earn his firing.
Oh, you have to get worse than this. Can you get worse than this?
Have you seen the schedule? The opportunities are there.
but that's let me throw it out there to David. Let me bring you out on this. What is wrong in Indiana here? Is it the coaching? Is it the defense? Is it everything?
It's the defense. Oh my God! It's the defense.
Is it that coaching?
It is. Crean has never been a defensive guru ever. I think that might be the understatement of the century. But, I mean, the defense is historically, and that's not even hyperbole, it is historically awful. I mean, they are just atrocious on defense. You'd think that a team that just played a leave-them-open-and-hope-they-miss defense would do better than what they've been doing. They did lock it down against Morehead State. I watched for about a 10 or 15-minute stretch, and Indiana actually forced two-shot clock violations. And I realized it was Morehead State, but it was still encouraging that at least they can stop someone. Their offense, they have multiple offensive threats. They're arguably an offensive juggernaut, but their defense is horrible. I mean, it's putrid.
John T., do you want to counter that, or do you agree that there's major problems in Indiana?
There's not major problems with the offense. I mean, they're
okay.
Fantastic. The defense needs a lot of work. I don't know if they can fix it by March, but they have a bunch of athletes, and they have a coach who's been in the Final Four, so I would not count them out just yet.
All right. Let me stick with you on two other programs that are having some trouble here, Ohio State and Illinois, both of them. Can either one of them rebound from what they've done so far?
I kind of want to stick the fork in the Buckeyes, actually. I mean, they're playing hard teams in Memphis, Virginia, Texas, Arlington. I mean, they're not getting blown out. They're all by single digits, and the Memphis game was overtime. But a lot of those games were at home, and they lost so much from last year. I don't think the Buckeyes are making NCAA tournament.
How about Illinois? Can they come back?
No way, but that's just because of injuries. That's not a reflection of Coach Gross. That's not a reflection on any of the talent. They just said they've had way too many injuries and a very hard schedule. The Irish, Iowa State, and Providence in the past 30 days. Those are tough teams.
I guess when Ohio State only gets into the 80s against VMI, I guess, yes, you can't stick a fork in them.
Question about Ohio State, and I realize that our Big Ten gurus are rarely with us anymore due to other obligations.
Wait, I'm a Big Ten guy.
You are. Okay.
I'm paying attention to Ohio State because UConn plays them this week.
Is Thad Mata's health problems with his back, and he's had a remarkable career. I think that it's almost underrated how well he's done in March, what he's done at Ohio State. Is this it for him after this year? I say that as someone that does not want to see him go, but they're having an off year, and all indications I'm hearing is that his health is an issue.
I don't really have an answer on that, but you know, it would be a shame if he did.
I would be shocked by that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's not that old of a guy. The only interesting thing about that is then the two best jobs he could take are, you know, what, is he going to take the Wisconsin or the Indiana job when he magically feels better, a la the Urban Meyer route?
Yeah, but I wouldn't do anything. I'd rest my back up for a couple of years, and I just wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, no, in the NBA, where I know David has no idea what the NBA even is, but there's a team, the Golden State Warriors. They're very good. Their head coach had major back surgery in the offseason. He's rehabbing, and they're 22-0 with Luke Walton. Luke Walton's an NBA head coach, folks, in case you forget. In case you didn't feel old today, there you go. This Ohio State team, just real quick, I think they got to have the UConn game Saturday, and that's a game where they can win. It could be a big win, or they could just get their doors blown off. And that'll be a UConn team that will be coming off of a really tough game at the Garden against a very good Maryland team, and if they lose that game, they'll be ticked off. I think Illinois's got a much better chance of turning it around. They've had the injuries, as you mentioned. They also now have a home arena. They're finally back at the renovated Assembly Hall, as opposed to having to play at the convention center. So, you know, just getting used to being at home. The thing for them is their defense has got to improve. I think Illinois' offense has been passable so far, but defensively they've been awful. And so if they can just work in with these replacement guys who have had to step in and fill the void with the injuries, Illinois could turn this around. I think more than Ohio State. Ohio State seems like a lost cause. I don't think either of them will, but if I have to pick one, I'm taking Illinois.
Lee, let me stick with you here. One other team, real quick. The Minnesota Golden Gophers had not lost a home game, believe it or not, non-conference since November 29th of 2010 to Virginia. They had the second longest streak in the nation for non-conference home wins, which is probably more of a sign of who they've played at home than anybody else.
But, it's 100% a sign of who they've played.
But
UMKC, sir.
Saturday, they lost at home.
Nebraska Omaha, sir.
In double overtime to South Dakota. Not South Dakota State, South Dakota. Finally broke that streak.
Well, I get South Dakota State tomorrow.
I've said for several years now that Minnesota, you know, they have somebody named Rick Pitino on the sideline, but it is not Rick Pitino, and he is not a good coach. Is there anything here at Minnesota this year?
I mean, they just are more than willing to let teams shoot uncontested three. It's like Richard Pitino watched his father's teams and thought, what would be the best possible outcome for his father's team to play? A team that tries to run but can't hold on to the ball. A team that just lets launch threes from the outside. It's just, they're a mess. They're just...
He's the exact opposite of his father, is what you're saying.
No, it's the kind of game that his father would... A kind of team his father would want to play against. And that's not good. They're not good. I mean, Jordan Murphy is a really good freshman that they brought in. He's been outstanding so far. But they just don't have anything else. I mean, the opponents are shooting 38.4% from three. Can we get a hand up on the perimeter, please?
David, one other team that we have to discuss here. I know you want to discuss them. Tim Miles doesn't have a bad loss yet, doesn't have a good win.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, I still like their chances to win the league. I mean, if you look at the standings right now, they're right on top. I mean, in first place.
No, they're not. It's alphabetical.
Shut up!
But I mean, is there anything here in Nebraska, though, this year?
You kind of have to... I actually was pretty impressed with what they did against Cincinnati. I realize it was in a cavernous arena, but Cincinnati's pretty good. They played and they hung right in there. And they didn't – I mean, granted, it was a home game, but they did stick with Miami too. The potential is there for them to maybe contend for the bubble, but they've been – they've digressed quite a bit, and they've digressed almost at an alarming rate. Like, is this really the team that at the end of the 13-14 season sprinted to the finish the way that they did with all that momentum and had everybody back plus what they added the following year? I am a little surprised overall that they're certainly light years ahead of where they were when he got there. But they're still not as good as I thought that they would be by now, especially after how much they had improved in his second year there. It's year four. I do think that they will play in a postseason tournament, namely the NIT. I'd be shocked if they didn't at least get to that. I don't think they're going to land inside the bubble.
Just a real quick point. It's an odd one, but it's just something I noticed with them. Their defense is good enough to keep them in games, but I think they have this problem where the players just don't seem like big enough. Like, for the Big Ten schedule, it's a lot of paper-thin guys, not a lot of height, and just against, like, Michigan State, it's just going to be, I mean, for a lot of teams, but a lot of these Big Ten teams, they just don't physically look the way a Big Ten team should, and that's the problem for them in terms of trying to battle inside. I mean, their team, they get blocked a lot, and they lose the ball a lot. It's really hard to get the offense going when you can't hold on to it.
Well, Tim Miles is so good, he's not going to do it the easy way, Lee.
Well, I wonder if because Tim Miles is used to coming up from these small schools, like, weight training wasn't a priority at Northern Colorado. It was, can we get to the arena? You know, and now you've got to modify who you are as a coach. You're at an elite school that's got elite facilities, and I mean, these guys don't look like they're getting any bigger year after year. You know, fans always assume, well, this guy's going to come back and be bigger. And the Nebraska guys, the juniors and seniors, just still look tiny.
Well, speaking of teams that don't look like Big Ten teams, John S., let me throw it over to you. One last question. Penn State or Rutgers? Who finishes 13th? Who finishes 14th? I'm not even going to let Lee answer this one because I know he'll want to do about an hour and a half on it.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess I'll have to go with a team that did wind up beating a team out of the Big East. So, Penn State, congratulations. You're lucky number 13.
Lucky 13 versus 14, yeah, but it's pretty bad in both those.
That team sold out the Penn State.
Penn State only won by 9 at BC, I'm concerned.
let's move over. We do want to briefly run through the other conferences. We're going to pay more attention to them coming up in future weeks. But starting with the Big East, John T., tonight Villanova, who had been rolling, didn't bother going out to Hawaii to play Oklahoma, apparently.
Aloha. No, they did not. It was all Buddy Hield all the time, and it was pretty dominant, actually. I mean, Villanova is considered a top seed, top one or two seed, coming off a great season, adding Jalen Brunson, a McDonald's All-American, and they got blown off the court by a veteran and well-coached Sooner team.
And David, I think that we all agree that Xavier, Butler, Providence all started looking good so far, but we did touch on this Georgetown a little bit. Do you think they've finally turned the corner here?
Absolutely. And you know what? When you look at what they've – I hate the term eye test, but outside of the Radford game, this is what they've done since then. Lost at Maryland by 4 in a game where they had the lead and actually had a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Beat Wisconsin. Lost to Duke on a neutral floor by 2. Blown – you know, those are not bad losses at all. Like, they have 4 losses, but only one of them is really concerning. I don't think – after the Radford game, I'm not so sure they were ever out of it. I mean, I'm sorry, they only have 3 losses, one – you know, both by 4 points or less to really, really good teams away from home.
I think that Duke game can count as a road game that was played in New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was played at Duke. Thank you, John.
we got Indiana at Duke coming up in the college in football also here, but that's another.
Yeah. I saw John T. shaking his head, so yeah. I guess I should give a little credit because it was in New York, not New Jersey, so my apologies there.
Yeah, at Duke, right in New York.
Let me bring you back in here to discuss a little Big 12. I would argue at this point, although pending a game that's going on right now as we record this, when Iowa State is struggling with Buffalo in the second half, but I would argue we have 5 protected seed caliber, top 4 seed caliber teams here in the Big 12, from what I've seen so far. Would you agree with that?
Easily 4, probably 5. Oklahoma, Iowa State, and West Virginia all undefeated, so regardless of weak schedule or good matchups, undefeated is undefeated. Kansas 6-1, Baylor 6-1, both great teams. I think 5 is a good number.
All right, you're saying. Let me bring it over to Lee here. We've got 2 other teams here sitting with only 1 loss each. Bruce Weber at Kansas State and our buddy down there at Texas Tech. Anything you've seen on either one of these teams, or are these complete fraudulent records for Tubby Smith and Bruce Weber?
I mean, I've actually was really impressed with how well Kansas State played against North Carolina. It was a classic Bruce Weber loss in that was a game that they had in the bag with 4 minutes to go, and they lost by double digits. Like, Bruce, I know they took away a timeout this year. They didn't take away all of them. You can use them. But I've actually been, like, from what I've seen, I've been impressed by Kansas State. I think there could be something there. I mean, the non-conference isn't any good, but, like, you know, they blew – look, Missouri sucks, but they played them. And, you know, that's a team that is obviously in a rebuilding mode.
It's like construction in Chicago. Yeah, Missouri's rebuilding right now. They'll be done.
No, Missouri's just building. they won at Georgia, one of these years is going to be our team. Like, we've talked enough about Georgia in the past that one year this won't be that year. You know, they have a win at Georgia. Coming up, they play at A&M, you know, who That's a game that, I mean, A&M, if they could somehow get that, that would change really the narrative on this team from being a team that's just beaten bad teams and should have won North Carolina. Like, then they'd have something they can hold on to. I think Kansas State could be a tournament team this year. Texas Tech could be a team that plays basketball this year. I don't think there's any there with Texas. Texas Tech might be the worst three-point shooting team in the top five. I mean, they just need to stop doing it altogether. They're a bad offensive team. The defense, they're very good. They're very tough. They're pretty tall, but just offensively, I don't think they have enough, especially in a conference with so much quality offensive power in front of them. So I do think Kansas State could be a bubble team, but they've got work to do. I don't think it's happening for Texas Tech, though.
David, let's move over to the Pac-12, where, of course, the game that everyone was talking about this weekend, where we can now say that Monmouth could do something that Kentucky cannot do, and that's a win at UCLA.
Yeah, thank God. We'll get to this on under the radar if they could win it. God, they'd be perfect if they could win at Canisius.
But
it's a long drive.
I guess the question here was this just one of those games for UCLA where they just caught lightning in a bottle, or is this UCLA team really good enough to compete with Kentucky?
They're good enough to compete with Kentucky at home when they have a good game and Kentucky doesn't.
Okay.
It is so hard to win on the road, and I realize that top five teams are able to do it. They're able to beat tournament teams on the road. They're able to beat ranked teams on the road. But still, nobody bats 1,000 or almost no one. I'm just not that alarmed by it. I mean, not to compare it to baseball, but the 27 Yankees lost 30% of their games. Basketball doesn't have quite that margin for error. But, yeah, when you cross three time zones and you're playing a showcase game against a team on their home court that they're jacked up for, that's pretty good. Kentucky probably should have won. I think they were the better team. They have every right to feel like it was their game to win, and not to take anything away from UCLA, but I'm just not that alarmed by it.
John T., real quick, because you're the Pac-12 guy, do you think Kentucky was alarmed by seeing Pauley Pavilion actually filled with humans?
I think they took one look at Jessica Alba and just fell apart, frankly, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That could be it. But John T., let me stick with you. The other big game, of course, Arizona went up to Gonzaga and picked up the huge win. Have they fully righted the ship from what happened where they almost lost to Santa Clara and then they did lose to Providence?
Not fully, because the first half was a mess and they could not stop Wiltshire or Sabonis all game long. They just Wiltshire 33-9. It's a bonus 30-16. I mean, they just got killed inside, and they're going to continue to get beat up because Caleb Parzewski is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a foot injury. Thank God, like, the freshman, Alonzo Trier, stepped up. Ryan Anderson has become very dependable inside. Gabe York started hitting threes again, and the bench actually contributed. It's a huge, huge win to go to Gonzaga, where it's very hard to win, fall behind so far in the first half, and come back on your opponent's court without your 7-foot center. This is going to be a seed-saving win in March. If the committee's not sure whether to go like a 3 or a 4, this is going to bump them up big time.
I'm way more impressed with it than you are. They were without Tarzewski. They went into Gonzaga, and it wasn't in the Spokane Arena. It was at the Kennel, and they won. That is remarkable. I thought I was as impressed with this as I am almost with any road win this year. I thought it was a fantastic win for Arizona.
The rest of the Pac-12, let me throw it over here first to John S. Throw four teams out here for USC, Oregon State, Colorado, Washington State, all with solid records. Are there any teams on that list that you actually think are for real this year?
I know I wasn't thinking this earlier in the year, but I probably could make a case that USC is going to be gradually improving under Andy Enfield. I mean, even the Pac-12 coaches I had read on Twitter earlier in the year thought that Trojans might be the surprise team, but we'll have to see how they do once they come to Pac-12 play. But I'm surprised you didn't throw out Arizona State as a team that could. Sorry, John T., but it's true. This is a team that has had a couple good weeks recently.
Well, Lee, they picked up a huge win last night over Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed with them. The curtain of distraction is back. And now this is an Arizona State team that gets to turn around against another SEC team on Saturday as they go to Rupp Arena. And if they – I mean, that's a game where it's – look, nobody thinks they're going to win that game. But if they just play well in that game, play competitive, and, you know, they can get a lot out of that, I like Arizona State a lot more than the Oregon State team that you mentioned. And I would advise Oregon State to, you know, get a lot of rest – you know, travel safely because they are going to get an absolute beating on Saturday in Kansas City against the Kansas Jayhawks, I think. I just think this is a blood in the water Kansas team. They're still ticked off by not having Cheick Diallo, and they've got him back, and he's doing Karl Malone dunks. And I don't think Oregon State and Wayne Tinkle are remotely prepared to handle any team that isn't Rice or LMU. You know, Oregon State's all, you know, bad schedule. Great, you beat Northwest Christian. Nice, great job.
Compared to what they were a few years ago, that is a
great. No, I mean, it's an improved look. They would have lost to Northwest Christian by double digits right. A couple years ago, and then the Secret Service would have been involved. But no, I think Oregon State's top 35 defense is in for a real tough day against Kansas. I like Arizona State, though. I've been impressed. I've watched actually a lot of USC. I've been impressed by them so far as well. I really think they're a much improved team. They're obviously going to be pleasing to the eye with the way they play. They're better than I thought they would be. And Andy Enfield deserves a lot of credit. This is a big year for him in terms of keeping his job, and so far they're living up to it.
Let's move over to the SEC. John T., let me bring you back in here. We discussed Kentucky a little bit. Is there anything that you are worried about coming off of that UCLA loss, or is this still one of the top four teams in the country?
Both. They are one of the top four teams in the country. I'm a little concerned that Tyler Ulis is still not a great shooter. 9 assists is obviously great, and he played most of the game, and he ran the offense, and they looked okay. Scal Labissiere was not too much to be heard of. 6 points. 1 blanking rebound. I mean, the guy's 6'11". Let's try to get more than 1 rebound.
David, South Carolina, yes. Undefeated. Are they for real?
I think they are. I think they are for real in the sense that I see them landing inside the bubble and making the tournament.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, they are 8-0. They've won decisively against some pretty decent teams. Oral Roberts decent. They beat them decisively. I think Hofstra's decent. They beat them on a neutral floor. Tulsa, depending on what day it is, can be decent. They
no,
beat them.
No. Oh, we'll have that discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they beat them. You know, they blew past South Florida. They're not just 8-0. They've beaten some teams that are actually decent, and they've blown past the ones that aren't like you would expect a good team to. It's a little – they do go to Clemson. That's a rivalry game. It's a poorly timed rivalry because I don't know why they insist on playing this game every year, seemingly when the students have already gone home. I think that takes so much away from one of the better out-of-conference rivalries. But, if they get that one, they will most likely enter SEC play unbeaten. They have a nice little bye game against a team called St. John's. I'm not familiar with them. Are they Division One?
I think they're NAIA.
Okay, and then they play somebody called Francis, and then they're at home against Memphis. I think they'll win all three of those. The game against Clemson, I think they're better than that. I think they'll win it, but I think that is their toughest test remaining prior to conference play.
John S., let me bring you back in here on one other team. Florida Gators, been kind of quiet this year, but quietly putting together a solid record so far. Is this a team we are kind of ignoring that we should be paying a lot more attention to?
Well, they did have a couple chances up in, Mohegan Sun prior to Thanksgiving to make some noise. They got a win over St. Joe's, but weren't able to pull off the win against Purdue that could have really started to jumpstart the Mike White regime.
Well, they're at Miami tomorrow night. They're also at Michigan State coming up this weekend. They got a heck of a week lead, don't they?
Yeah,
it's a big week for them. By the way, I just noticed that the win over Villanova by the margin it did has vaulted Oklahoma to number 1 on KenPom, and deservedly so, I think. But going back to this Florida team, it's interesting because defensively, under Mike White, they've been as good, if not better, than they were at the end under Billy Donovan. I've been very impressed with their defense, albeit against some very pretty poor teams. But this week, you know, the Miami game tomorrow is a huge game for them, a measuring stick, because I think Miami's really, really good. And I don't think that Florida's at that level yet, but it doesn't mean they can't win. It doesn't mean they can't get to that level, you know, eventually. And then Saturday at Michigan State, I wish them a lot of luck. For this Florida team, I'm more interested in how they play these games than trying to just think, you know, they have to win these games. I mean, if they win either of these games, they're probably going to be a tournament team. I mean, between them, and you mentioned South Carolina. I mean, if you look at South Carolina the way their schedule plays out, they could very easily be at like 27-3 going into the tournament. And it could be a pretty empty 27-3, but it's 27-3. I mean, this could be a protected seed, South Carolina. Florida, if they win either of these games this week somehow, then they become a team that really could make the tournament, because either of those would be really notable wins. And the SEC this year, I mean, I don't know, John S., what you think, it's getting a little deeper? Like, there might be...
Yeah.
Like, but it's still... you know, it gets pretty bad at the bottom, but it seems like some of these – I mean, John, I guess my question is, do you think the SEC is that much improved this year over years past? And is it – if so, is that because Kentucky's a little come back to the pack or because the other teams are better?
I don't know if the results are starting to show yet, but there's certainly been a lot more emphasis from the SEC front office to improve the scheduling and improve the coaching. I mean, it's not just South Carolina. It's Auburn that's been improving. Alabama is improving, even though we didn't think much of them during the preseason. But they also had a surprisingly decent outing down in Orlando after losing to Xavier, which turned out to be the least of the Musketeers' wins down in Orlando.
Yeah, let's keep rolling here. We got a few more things to get through, and we're starting to run a little short on time, but... quickly, an ill word in the American. David, let me throw this over to you. Just how good is this Cincinnati team?
I like them a lot. I realize that they lost to Butler earlier in the week in a game that they really should have won. I don't want to harp too much on this. There were two phantom foul calls, one of which led to Mick Cronin absolutely blowing his stack. And they ended up getting six free throws that they shouldn't have gotten, and I think they made all six of them, and then they end up winning at the buzzer. Again, Butler was on the road. That was a really tough game for Butler to win, and they got it, but I still really like this Cincinnati team. God, they got their work cut out for them this week. I think we're going to learn a lot about them on Saturday in a huge showcase game. We're going to get that, but I like them more than anybody else in this league. I think they can win it.
And John T., one other team over here in the American, SMU is undefeated, yet ineligible for the postseason. Do you think they really should have done that appeal this year, maybe gone in, because they've looked pretty good so far, even without their head coach?
They look very good, but when the hardest team on your schedule is Yale, no offense to the Ivy League, like 6-0 is nice, but it's a weak 6-0. We'll see if they can do anything with Michigan on Tuesday night, then I'll become a believer.
Lee, let me bring you in here as we move to the Atlantic 10, and we know Dayton and George Washington are both rolling along, but is it time, and I know you want to do this, is it time to start talking Fordham hoops?
It really is, and by the way, can we just talk about real quick, you know, they got disrespected a little bit before the game, guys calling them out, but they think they're a tougher team, they're grown men over here. They got a whole bunch of gangsters in the locker room over in Xavier, not thugs, but tough guys on the court. They're going to go out there and zip them up at the end of the game. They're going to just try and zip them up in body bags. That's what it's all about. I'm so excited for Xavier Cincinnati. But you alluded to the rise of Rose Hill of the Fordham Rams. This is a program that has tried really hard to get in its own way for years and years
and years. And has succeeded.
Yes, but under Jeff Neubauer, they might actually be coming around. Lost their first game of the year at UT Arlington. Hey, who hasn't? I mean, let's be honest. UT Arlington, one of the best teams in the country. Since then, they've rattled off six consecutive wins over terrible basketball teams. They play many more terrible basketball teams coming up. And you know what? Fordham was so in the doldrums. I can't begrudge them too much for having a horrendous schedule. I don't think it's a tournament team. But no. It's just good to see Fordham and Rose Hill Gym just have some positive energy for once. And you know, this is a program with a great history on the court as well as the announcers off of it. And, you know, I think they're definitely going in the right direction. I think the goal for them this year has to be just be middle of the Pac A-10, and for them that'd be a huge step up to maybe get into the top, like, eight of the A-10, and then they can build off of that. So far, however, as it's fun, and I like the story, but, I mean, Queens, Fairleigh Dickinson, Colgate, Manhattan, that St. John's NAIA team that David was alluding to, and Central Connecticut, I mean, that's – I mean, you should be 6-1, you know. But their next three games, LIU, Coppin State, Maine, those should be wins. And then BC, they should beat them too. This could be 10-1 going into the George Washington game for their A-10 opener. I mean, John Tino's, that could be a huge game for both teams in terms of A-10 play if they want to be any sort of serious contender here.
It will be. That's going to decide the A-10, obviously. I mean, it's a huge game.
Game one. I mean, that's it. That's the whole
season. John, let me stick with you for a second. Flip over to the Mountain West, where San Diego State lost again outdoors to San Diego yesterday. It's just an awful game. But UNLV, has Dave Rice finally figured out how to coach, or what's going on out there in Vegas?
Why does everybody hate Dave Rice? He's a good coach. He's literally a 2-point loss to a UCLA team that just beat Kentucky away from being 8-0. He's beaten Indiana. He's beaten Oregon. Get off his case. The man can coach.
No, Dave Rice sucks. Dave Rice can't coach. He cannot coach. He's a great recruiter. He cannot coach. And shocking the good luck Okabona is transferring, as predicted by everybody. Like, I don't know why elite recruits go. I mean, I know why they go there. It's UNLV. They're probably getting paid, and it's an amazing city and program. But, like, he's a terrible on-court coach, but this year hasn't done anything too offensive to my senses. Sorry, John. Go ahead. You said he wasn't a bad coach, and it drove me nuts. I'll let you continue.
No, that's the extent of it. I also like Steven Zimmerman Jr. I wasn't sure if he was going to be ready to play in the pros, but he's averaging 10-9, a couple blocks a game as a freshman. I think he's the real deal.
David, let me bring you back in here. One other team we always discuss during these podcasts is Gonzaga. Do you think in that loss to Arizona that once again the lack of a backcourt and a leadership hurt them down the stretch? And I know they're going to roll through the West Coast Conference, but with Gonzaga, I think you got to talk is how deep can they go in the NCAA tournament.
Right. It is somewhat discouraging. I think the backcourt has hurt them, and it seems like in every game that they've lost, and even some of the ones that they've won, you know, A&M, they opened up a big lead. A&M comes out in the second half, makes some adjustments, and Gonzaga has no answer. UConn did the same late in the game. Gonzaga ultimately held on to win that. But I think that one of the things that I've noticed about them is that when the other team makes an adjustment, Gonzaga doesn't seem to have an answer. And I think the backcourt does have something to do with that. Now, I don't think they're going to sweat too much, really, at any point for the rest of the year. But, I mean, I'm sure they'll stub their toes once. But that was to not get the Arizona game and then, like, to go down to the Battle for Atlantis and not win it, although they did get the win against UConn. They haven't faced anybody. They haven't been able to beat anybody or really step on up in anybody that's really indicative of what a Final Four team would be able to beat.
Well, what I want to do now is want to just go quick preview of some of the upcoming games this next week or so. We already mentioned tomorrow night's Florida-Miami game and the Michigan-SMU game. We also have the Jimmy V Classic tomorrow night. And, Lee, I know you're going to be there for West Virginia-Virginia and Maryland-UConn.
Lee.
Did you leave? Well, I guess Lee is gone.
Oh, I'm here now.
Oh.
Sorry, my computer. Dave Rice had control over my computer. I only caught the end of the sentence.
I was just asking you about your thoughts about the Jimmy V Classic doubleheader tomorrow night.
It should be two just great basketball games at the Garden. I'm really excited for it. West Virginia, Virginia, should be an outstanding matchup. I'm really excited to watch this West Virginia team and how they try, especially with Devin Williams, who I think might be one of the more underrated players in the country, and to see how they, you know, their tempo. They're a much faster playing team than I think people understand. Granted, the schedule hasn't been the toughest, to watch them try and run against a Virginia team. Look, we've seen this with Virginia a million times, how teams try and run with them, and it usually doesn't work. We know how good Virginia is. I think this has a chance to be a real coming-out party for West Virginia, and it, in the late game, it's a chance for UConn to get a key non-conference win where, you know, right now, look, all they've got is Michigan, and, I mean, I hope like hell Michigan wins the Big Ten, but I'm being realistic. That's not a great win. They've got a non-conference game with Ohio State, which can probably only hurt them at this point. The good news is, at that point, it comes down to just they've got the game at Texas, which is set up to hurt them, and then the Georgetown game. Basically, tomorrow is their last one, is either their last or next to last chance at a notable out-of-conference win. This is a huge game for UConn.
And don't forget, there's not going to be very many notable in-conference wins playing in the American against the likes of Tulane and Tulsa and South Florida.
You mean Matt Norlander might not have been onto something when he picked Tulsa to win the league? God, Tulsa. Terrible Frank Haith coaching. Predictably terrible.
Was it 2 or 3 years ago we saw the greatest game ever in the history of the Jimmy V Classic with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I think tomorrow night will be much more entertaining than that. I think UConn will get it done because I'm just a homer, but I think they're both going to be great games.
Yeah.
Mello, Trimble, Diamond Stone was UConn, Wisconsin, and Maryland in his final three. So can Amita Brima maybe against a good team stay in the game for more than 10 minutes? Like last year against Duke, he was very good, but he picked up two early fouls and he only played like 17 minutes. Amita Brima has got to stay out of foul trouble. And I'm interested to see how, you know, Maryland, not just Diamond Stone, he gets all the attention, but, I mean, Robert Carter is really underrated in that front court. That's going to be a fascinating matchup. I'm interested to see if UConn throws Sean Miller, the Cornell transfer, on to guard Diamond Stone to try and exploit the youth versus experience thing / Amita Brima's propensity to foul. And I'm interested, the Trimble versus the UConn guards backcourt should be a fascinating watch. I think that game could have a lot of points in it, and it's going to be it's going to be awesome, baby, with a capital A, the whole thing. I'll be totally stable and totally rational during it.
Yeah. John T., we've got coming up on Wednesday night, we've got a Big Five matchup. At the top of the show, you told us about the fact that you went to that Penn-George-Mason game. Temple's at Penn coming up Wednesday night. Your thoughts on that game, and maybe you want to give us a little report on the George-Mason game as well.
So Temple, with head coach Fran Dunphy, formerly of Penn, is going to sadly destroy my Penn Quakers because this is not our year. It was such a painful, painful game to watch. They were down 20 early. They lost by 20. The biggest exciting moment of the night was when somebody on George Mason missed the dunk and the crowd went, oh. The best part was the speed of the game. I know they've put into place all these rules to speed it up. It's working. There were not a ton of fouls. There were not a ton of TV timeouts or whatever. They tipped it off at 6 p.m. I kid you not. We were in the car leaving after the game by 7:50. It was the fastest game I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah. I've noticed that as well. Games are definitely checking in at an hour 50 now.
Yeah.
And John, can I just real quick, John, because you know it, just real quick, the Ivy League I find fascinating this year. Like, Columbia is disappointing the hell out of me. Yale, Princeton, I mean, who's the best team in this league that now might have a tournament starting next year?
Yeah, don't get me started on that. We'll save that rant for another day. I think Princeton as 4-1 has to be considered the favorite early. Obviously, they just lost by double digits at Stony Brook, which is an average loss, but decent Stony Brook team. They have St. Joe's coming up on Tuesday, and then Maryland in a couple of weeks. Good luck, Tigers. It's up for grabs, though. After Sayani Chambers of Harvard tore his ACL over the summer, this is wide open.
Well, now Harvard did play with Kansas for a little while, though, which really surprised me. But let's move back up from under the radar to over the radar. John S., let me bring you here another game coming up Wednesday night. This UNLV team we were just talking about, and what should have been a really good game, but is at Wichita State. And the way Wichita State's playing, this might be a blowout.
Talking about in a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way for Wichita State, in a good way for Dave Rice.
Yep, still waiting for the health of Fred Van Vliet to improve on the Shocker's end, but if UNLV wants to have any hopes of an at-large bid, they've got to win this game with or without Van Vliet playing.
You mean Wichita? Van Vliet plays for Wichita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You meant Wichita. This is actually part of the Mountain West Missouri Valley Conference Challenge. Mountain West is currently up 4-2. Looking to go 5-2 despite their struggles this year. We already discussed the Iowa-Iowa State games coming up and a few other games this weekend. Let me just throw a few others out there. David, on Saturday, Marquette at Wisconsin. There's a big rivalry game for you there.
It is. Not the quite the storyline that we've seen in some of the past games. This game, pretty high temperature. It's really big. I think Wisconsin's clearly the better team, though.
Another game coming up, UCLA at Gonzaga. That's coming up on Saturday. We've discussed some of the other big games already. Coming up on Sunday, we've got an interesting game here. John T., let me throw this one over to you here. LSU at Houston. This LSU team has been really disappointing in this.
Oh, God.
Unbelievably disappointing. Meanwhile, you've got Houston sitting here undefeated.
Yeah, Houston has Kelvin Sampson at the coach and an amazing offense and a very horrible schedule so far this year. LSU is going to be for real. If they triple-team Simmons, they'll win. If they don't, he's going to score 40, and they'll probably lose.
Anybody else have any games that they're highlighting coming up in the next week? I know we've got a few coming up this weekend. David, go ahead.
Well, I'm surprised you're going to me and not John. For the first time in recent memory, Xavier Cincinnati on Fox. It's on a free-to-air network. It hopefully will get 1 million viewers. It's between two ranked teams. This rivalry, it's been hot and cold. I think it cooled off a little bit when Huggins left and UC kind of dropped out of relevance. And then it was at a neutral site, and the last year it was there, there were over 6,000 tickets that went unsold. How do you say that it's a big rivalry when you have that many tickets go unsold? I think this year's edition of it could really bring it back. I can't really speak to it the way John S. probably can, but both teams are ranked. It's a huge out-of-conference game on not just on national television, but on a free-to-air network. What's it like in Cincinnati leading into this, John? I'm curious.
Oh, I gave you a little hint at the top of the show. Even with the Steelers coming into town to face the Bengals, there's still going to be quite a bit of a lead-up for the crosstown shootout, even though Cincinnati is also going through exams, and Xavier is going to have one more bye game against Wright State before they get into the annual shootout.
Does this game belong on campus, or did you like the idea of the neutral site?
Campus is much better, at least on the Xavier end. I think the Cincinnati folks probably would have preferred to at least have it played downtown, especially since there was a time when the Bearcats were considering moving some of their games downtown, either permanently or for a year or two while they renovate Fifth Third Arena.
But like Maryland Georgetown, like Illinois Missouri, like St. Joe's Nova, it's not a Louisville Kentucky. It's not a conference game, but it really does kind of feel like one. My experience with this one, it's a pretty big rivalry. Iowa State, Iowa, another one.
So, there's also enough, corporate sponsorship to the Crosstown Shootout that it would be very difficult for that game to completely go away. Skyline Chili is not going to allow that to happen.
Right, yeah. Oh, it'll never go away. Well,
on that note, I want to run through everybody here, see if you have any final thoughts. Let me start with Lee.
But I did have a final thought, and I forgot it, and that really sums it all up, doesn't it? My final thoughts are just, excited I actually, now I remember what it was. My final thought was that, MAC, the Metro Conference, and a couple of odd other conferences, Metro Conference got underway this past weekend, and, Monmouth came back down to earth, and now Monmouth in the news again because our friends at the NCAA just can't have anyone having fun. Now the NCAA is trying to basically outlaw, sideline celebrations, and just, can you let the kids have fun? Just leave them be? They're not running onto the court, although I would be fine if they did, to be honest. I'm a soccer fan, though. But yeah. I'm interested to let the kids celebrate. And now, you know, on the basketball side, that MAC is underway. Monmouth's going to have a huge target on them every night, and that's not a position they're used to being in. It's a league they just joined. I mean, it was weird for me when they joined the MAC because it was such a step up for them in Quinnipiac from the Northeast Conference, but they have made a really great job in terms of quickly adapting to obviously having the level to beat major teams. Now, can they do it in the MAC, you know, week in, week out? That's an underratedly tough travel league because, you know, you got games like the one they had at Canisius. That's a long – you're driving everywhere. At least they got the long drive out of the way with the Buffalo trip. But can Monmouth take the momentum that they had in the out-of-conference games and not let that be the highlight of the season? Let that be something that starts something. It'll be interesting to see because the place is going to be packed. They finally get a home game, but they're going to get big crowds on the road as well.
Well, yeah. Coming up, their first and only non-conference home game this season. They're hosting Wagner coming up on Sunday. Yours truly will be there cheering on the Hawks. But John T., any final thoughts?
Yeah, best conference in the country. I really thought it was going to be the ACC this year with Carolina, Duke, and Virginia up top. I'm really starting to love the Big 12. Kansas, Oklahoma, Iowa State, those are all legitimate national title contenders. I see several of them making the Sweet 16.
And John S.
It's almost like not overloading your pots with Drek makes it better top to bottom.
Sorry, John?
I guess now the real John S. gets to go. Yeah. We had alluded earlier to South Carolina playing South Florida last Saturday. This was believed to be the first major game between two coaches of Hispanic origin. It's also good for helping develop the game, not just within the country, but also in Latin America. So it was good to see those two coaches get together, and also good to see Pedro Gomez of ESPN get some coverage of the game as well from both coaches.
David?
We've basically played a quarter of the season. This week marks the first week that college basketball, at least in the college sports world, has the stage to itself. These half-empty arenas need to be more than half-full moving forward. So if you're watching, go out and buy tickets and go to a game.
My final thought here, we know RPI is fairly meaningless still this early this season, but I've got to throw these two numbers out there. San Jose State has been one of the worst teams in all of Division I for several years now.
Ever.
Currently, their RPI is sitting at 310. Boston College, 320. On that note, have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.